you love very much. The person more dear, more beloved, more close to you than anyone else. Imagine that the person's most dear lover is showing you beloved's home. When you first arrive, all you see is some small houses, trees, ponds, paths, roadways, all seeming quite ordinary. As you wait with anticipation to hear of what your beloved did there, and as you hear how your beloved ran down the path to the woods, worked in the fields to the right, swam in the pond to the left, found a stone deity floating in the water, suddenly all those places that appeared quite ordinary become filled with deep meaning and significance, and as dear as your beloved. Similarly, in a crowd of people who are waiting for the arrival of someone, there may be one person waiting with anticipation to greet his beloved. And suddenly you see that person's face light up. And a big smile come over his face. And tears of joy streaming down his face. And try as you might, when you look in the direction that person's looking in, you can't see what he sees. Because your eyes are not directed by the love in that person's heart. So, the expectant pilgrims on earth are the devotees, those who are dedicated to serving the Lord and always eager for the appearance of the Lord, who always agrees to reciprocate with his devotees' desires in whatever their particular mood of love may be. And those devotees are the expectant waiters on earth in this otherwise ordinary crowd. And if we look through the eyes of spiritual devotion, we will see the events taking place on earth over the past 500 years as being quite extraordinary. But the eyes of persons who have been sealed by selfish ambition and deceit and cheating propensity, lust, anger, and greed cannot see, nor could they then see, the earth in her most beautiful gown of anticipation, beauty, and glory as she awaited the advent of the Lord. Very dear to her Creator, the earth floats and rotates in eternal communion with the Lord. And when He agrees to come and help her sustain her inhabitants and relieve the unnecessary defense force of demoniac kings, she blossoms with an outpouring of joy, beauty, and gratitude. So it was 500 years ago in Bharatvarsha, in the most blessed land of Nadia, Navadvip, when the earth suddenly exhibited her most beautiful aspect of love. And the beauty at that time cannot be described by any terrestrial or celestial artist. and the wave of joy that inundated all of Nadia at that time is impossible to describe, for it inundated even the birds and beasts and inanimate things in a deluge of spiritual ecstasy. But as we have toured the major places of Lord Chaitanya's early Leela, I was thinking that without a trip to Ekachakra, this is not complete. Because Srila Prabhupada told us that Lord Chaitanya is never alone. There at least has to be Gadadhar or Nitai with him. And that's very significant. Because we should never think that we can approach the Lord directly. Because the Lord is always eternally surrounded by unlimited devotees who are all liberated and very beautiful, compassionate souls who are our only hope and means of approach to Him. And they are the source of the Lord's mercy. Because the Lord has no business in this material world. He is forever enjoying in Golok. The mission of rescuing and delivering the fallen conditioned souls was not the reason for Lord Chaitanya's advent. That function could have been, and actually was, carried out by Nityananda and Advaita. Therefore, the significance of these personalities cannot be overestimated and cannot be neglected. So, although Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are eternal brothers, they did not have the joy of each other's meeting until they were young men. Because Sri Chaitanya had some childhood pastimes that had to be gotten out of the way before he began his munificent mission of giving freely pure love of God. Whereas Nityananda, the Avadhut, manifests devotional qualities from the very moment of his appearance, and nothing but devotional qualities. Nityananda is the first expansion of Krishna as Balaram in Krishna Lila, and he is none different from Balaram, although he is greater than Balaram. Because although Balaram is the supreme original person, is the supreme personality of Godhead, full of all six opulences, when his quality of munificence increases beyond the unlimited realm of Balaram's mercy, that person becomes Sri Nityananda Ram, whose further expansion is Shesh, who is gloriously beautiful, with a form like a cobra, with many heads, bluish black, with lotus shaped reddish eyes and jewel on his forehead. And he holds all the unlimited universes upon his head, but he can't even feel their presence because he's always immersed in singing the glories of his beloved, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And although he sings that song of love since time immemorial, from eternity past to eternity future, he never reaches the end of even one day's glories and pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what can an ordinary living entity say to express or explain the glories of that Lord? Nevertheless, it is the Lord's desire and His order, and out of gratitude and appreciation we have to try and pray that our individual self will not get in the way of the Supreme Self, and that He can empower us and work through us if we are humble and submissive. So this is the home of Hari Pandit, who was a teacher and whose intelligence was only surpassed by his humility, purity, and devotion. And he had a quiet wife, very beautiful, Padmavati. And they gave birth to the Lord, Sri Nityananda Ram. And from the very moment of his appearance, all lamentation, sorrow, and anxiety vanished, dissipated from Radhadesh with the appearance of this fair-complexioned, golden son of Hidaya Pandit and Padmavati. And in his childhood play, even when he was very young, before he was taught anything or could read the scriptures, he would assemble his friends together, and every day, all day, they would enact Krishna Leela. The boys were so enchanted in the pastimes of the Lord. You see, Shesh is always singing the glories of the Lord, and Nityananda is always assisting in enacting and revealing the pastimes of the Lord for our benefit, because he is the source and abode of mercy. Mercy which comes only in the form of devotional service, which he inspires. And therefore, Prabhupada said that just by hearing the pastimes of Lord Nityananda automatically invokes love of God. So in his childhood, he would assemble all his friends together right here beneath these trees and enact Krishna Leela. He would tell them the parts to play, and he would direct the whole show. One boy would go to the side of the pond and praying in great anguish, like Mother Bhumi 5,000 years ago, to Lord Brahma to help relieve the burden of this unnecessary defense force, which was actually demons but was posing as kings. And then a boy sitting up in the tree announced that, "Don't worry, very soon I will advent in the cowherd settlement of Nanda Maharaj." And then, very eager, the boys celebrated the marriage of Vasudeva and Devaki. And then they built a little prison of that wicked and cruel, yet glorious prison of Kamsa. And then Krishna took birth in the night. And then Vasudeva escaped the prison and went to the Jamuna. And in the rain, little Nitai was standing behind him, spreading his hoods over his head to protect him from the storm. And he took Krishna to Gokul for safety. And then he would have his friends play Bakashura, Putana, Dainakashura. They made a little cart, put Krishna in it. They killed that demon. He put Krishna under the cart, and he killed that cart demon with a touch of his soft lotus feet. And then they play Ram Leela. Nitai would come out in the mood of Lakshman, triumphant warrior, and enact Ram Leela in Ekachakra. And everyone would shout, "Jai Ram, Jai Ram." And then he would organize all his friends, and he would tell them, "Hey, you monkeys of the forest, that wicked Ravana has kidnapped Sita. We must build a bridge to Sri Lanka." They all start throwing stones in the river. They crossed to Sri Lanka and then entered that fierce battle with Ravana. And then Ravana sent his fierce warrior brother Indrajit to fight with Nitai. And the first day, they were just young boys. Nitai won. Second day, Indrajit threw a lotus at Nitai, struck him in the chest, and he fell down in a death swoon. And seeing Nitai lying unconscious on the ground, all the boys were stunned. They forgot their parts, as they practically lost their lives. And they began crying and screaming, waving their arms in the air, beating their heads. And the parents heard. They never minded that their children didn't come home because they were so immersed in joy playing with Nitai. But when they heard that their cries were not like the ordinary plays, they came running out. Hidaya Pandit Padmavati came and they saw Nitai laying unconscious in the dust as if dead. And they too almost lost their lives on the spot. And all the parents came out. And the whole village of Ekachakra was just about right on the verge of death. They were all ready to give up their lives because Nitai is the life of their lives. And then just when they were all ready to die, one of the men remembered that, "I one time saw an enactment of Ram Leela and King Dasarath appeared to die, but he didn't really die. It was just a drama." And then suddenly Hanuman remembered his part. Oh, wait a minute. Nitai told me that you lament for a little bit and then go run. Get that Gandhamadana hill. And then he told him, it's all right, I just have to get the herb. And then he ran. And then the demons tried to stop him, trick him into bathing in the river, got attacked by a crocodile, beat the crocodile, ran down the path, met another demon. He told him, you're Ravana as a dog. Get out of my way. Beat him out of the way. Then all the demons attacked him, and he knocked them all down. Got the mountain, forgot which herb it was, brought the whole mountain back, placed it at the feet of Nitai. And then another boy took the herb, placed it under Nitai's nose, and he opened his beautiful lotus eyes, and the whole village came back to life again. Jai Nitai! Jai Nitai! And then, this went on for years. And they'd ask him, how do you know these pastimes? Nobody ever told you these pastimes, and you're too young to read. And the boys were all astonished. He directs us so perfectly. They didn't know. Lakshman himself directed the whole show. So they asked, how do you know, how do you do it? And he just smiled very humbly. These are my divine pastimes. So as part of his divine pastimes, he eventually had to leave his limited family, as did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and go join the unlimited family, the spiritual family consisting of all living entities. So how to do it? He couldn't leave his father and mother. If they died just because he played like that in a drama, how could he do the real thing? He couldn't bear to cause so much pain. So this feat was accomplished through one unnamed mystery sannyasi who arrived here in Ekachakra as the guest of Hidaya Pandit one day. For 3 days they stayed, day and night, just talking about Krishna. And then as the sannyasi was ready to go on his way, he asked Hidaya Pandit, I'd like to request one thing of you in charity. And the Pandit said, yes, whatever you have. You're a sannyasi, I'm a householder, I must give you some charity. So yes, there's one thing I'd like to ask, but there's one condition. Well, Hidaya Pandit is feeling a little uneasy. Well, of course, whatever, it's my duty to give you charity. One condition, that whatever I ask you give. And Hidaya Pandit is getting very uneasy. Well, yes, I told you. I give my word, whatever you ask. Then I want your son, Nityananda. Oh, no! Not Nityananda! How can I give up Nitai? He's my very life. He's the life of my life. He's more dear than life. How could he give up Nitai? But he gave his word. He promised. And to break his word now, being a Brahmin, he would be teaching his son duplicity. So he just reeled backwards. He couldn't believe it. His mind reviewed the situation. Then he realized suddenly, this is no longer children's play. This is the real thing. Nitai has become Ram, and I have become Dasarath. And then the sannyasi said, thank you very much. Walked out the door with young Nitai behind, walking across the fields. Hidaya Pandit got up, stumbled, fell down, got up again, tears blinding his eyes, stumbling, falling, crawling on the ground, and then he stood like a statue with Padmavati behind him, drenched in tears as their young Nitai walked behind that sannyasi without even looking back. And Hidaya Pandit stood there like a frozen stone statue gazing into the distance until Nitai disappeared over the horizon. For 3 weeks he stood there, frozen. He couldn't eat. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't believe what had happened. And everyone just shook their heads. Hidaya Pandit's gone mad. And after 3 weeks, he just crumbled to the ground. Gave up his life on the spot. And went back to serving his son eternally in the land of devotion, far beyond this realm of exploitation. So then Nityananda went for 8 years on pilgrimage, beginning with the sannyasi and then alone. He went up to Mathura, saw the land of his previous birth. Then he traveled all over India. He went to Dwarka, went to South India, saw how the followers of Vishnu and Shiva had become divided in a ridiculous strife and just laughed at their nonsense. He went to Badrik Ashram, met Vyasadeva, the compiler of the Vedas. Vyasadeva immediately paid his dandavats for realizing that Lord Balaram has come in person. He went to Mount Kailash, met Shiva and Parvati. Parvati cooked his meals. And no one but the Lord can understand the talks that went on between those three. And then he, from South India, he again proceeded toward Vrindavan. And there in the forest, as he was traveling, he met Ishwarapuri, or Madhavendrapuri, who had gone to the forest with all his disciples. Because these were difficult times for the Vaishnavas. There was very little success in their preaching mission. The atheists were too hardened. Because in Navadvip, being blessed by the goddess of fortune and the goddess of learning, Lakshmi and Saraswati, the people just tried to exploit these gifts of the Lord. And they did not practice devotion, nor did they preach it or teach it. And the Bhagavatam reciters were no exception to the rule. And unable to bear the seeing the sinful faces of such persons, after Vishwarup left, practically all the devotees left, and they went with Madhavendrapuri to the forest. Madhavendrapuri was proclaimed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the first shoot of the tree of devotion, which he was later to cultivate. And in that assembly was the great Advaitacharya, whose love and compassion brought down Lord Chaitanya. He humbly begged initiation from Sri Madhavendrapuri, who had such devotion. He was always laughing and crying. He'd faint at the sight of the clouds if they happened to resemble the color of Krishna. He lived on nothing but the substance of the mellows of Krishna's love. In that assembly was also Ishwarapuri, who was later to become the guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also begged initiation from this great devotee. And seeing each other, they both fainted. Seeing the personification of devotion in the other, they fainted and drenched the earth with the blessings of their tears. Then they got up and embraced for a long time. And in that embrace, it was as if the two had become one. And Lord Chaitanya appeared in the heart of each, just to the vision of the other. And they were crying and trembling, hair standing on end. And all the disciples of Madhavendrapuri were crying in ecstasy and jumping up and down, dancing in circles, so pleased to see their master's ecstasy. And Nitai proclaimed that now, at last, today, I have attained the fulfillment of all my pilgrimage, having caught sight of the abode of devotion, Sri Madhavendrapuri. And Madhavendrapuri couldn't answer. He just held Nityananda in his tight embrace for hours. And those hours turned into days. Those days turned into the weeks. The moon waxed and waned many times in the course of their conversations about Krishna, which went on continually. And finally, when Madhavendrapuri was able to respond to Nityananda's glorification of him, he proclaimed that, "Today I am certain of Krishna's mercy upon me, because he has sent me such a great devoted soul as this Nityananda." And then when it was time for them to depart, Krishna covered over their intelligence so that they were not aware that the separation was taking place. Otherwise, they too would have given up their lives in the agony of separation. So in the spiritual plane also, there is separation. There is pain of separation. There is fear of separation. But the tears of the devotees are never the same as the tears of the materialists. That's their expression of love for Krishna. Whereas for the materialists, it's their expression of aversion to Krishna. And then Nityananda went out up to Vrindavan. He visited the Buddhists on the way in the forest, asked them some questions about the ultimate goal of life. They didn't answer, so he kicked them all in the heads. They ran away, and he wandered undismayed through their forest. Then he went on up to Vrindavan, where he played like a young cowherd boy, just playing in the sand, sporting in the Jamuna, just like a young boy, although he's 20 years old, in the mood of a cowherd boy. Go visit Nandagram. All the places of his previous Leela. And then he just sat down in the sand and played. He wouldn't eat unless somebody gave him some milk. And in his mind he mused that Sri Chaitanya is getting ready to manifest his most glorious, most merciful non-Sankirtan pastimes. I must go and join him when he calls. And confident of the Lord's call, he just played in Vrindavan. Meanwhile, down in Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya was beginning to behave in a most unusual way. One day he began crying, "Bring me wine! Bring me wine!" "What?" And then Srivas figured it out. "No, my lord, we can't bring you wine, because the intoxication you're looking for cannot be given until you yourself distribute it." And then they gave him some Ganges water, he was satisfied. And then he told the devotees of the dream he had. "I had a dream. A chariot pulled up before my house, and the passenger in that chariot was a tall, colossal, golden figure dressed in blue. And the emblem on the flag on that chariot was a palm tree. The chariot was drawn by splendid horses. And that colossal figure, who was a mendicant, but was also very formidable, held a plow over his shoulder. And he stopped his chariot right at my door and asked at least 20 times, 'Is this the house of Nimai Pandit?' And I came out. I said, 'Yes, this is the house of Nimai Pandit. Who are you?' And seeing that personality, I felt that he was non-different from myself. And he told me, he just laughed. He said, 'Don't you know? You and I are brothers. We'll have to get to know each other very soon.' And then Nitai came down to Navadvip and hid in the house of Nandanacharya, as brilliant as a million suns, but nobody could find him. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the devotees, 'Go find him.' And they went out. They looked in the Vaishnava's houses, the Brahmin's houses, the Kshatriya's houses, the Shudra's houses. They went to the Mleshas, Yavana's houses. They went places they wouldn't go for any other reason. They came back and thought, 'We can't find him.' I said, 'Of course you can't find him. You can't find him by looking for him. You can't find the sun by looking for it with a candle. The sun becomes revealed by its own glory, by its own rays. But I can find him. Let's go find Nityananda Ram.'" And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu led this splendid kirtan through the streets of Navadvip, went right to the house of Nandanacharya. The doors opened, and the devotees couldn't believe it. It's like a second Lord Chaitanya, his associated facsimile, who came out. And nobody could believe, nobody had seen such love ever manifest before, as Nitai joined Nimai in the kirtan, in the sankirtan, led through the streets of Navadvip. And in this way, as Nityananda came to Vrindavan, left Vrindavan, he was still going to Vrindavan, which is fully present in that golden lotus of Navadvip. There he would continue to tour his beloved Ayodhya Dham. There he would still be present in his beloved Vrindavan Dham. There he would still be able to play in the Jamuna, because all the holy places and all the avatars and all the great devotees of all the incarnations are fully present in Navadvip Dham. So he came there to join his brother in distributing the most munificent gift, pure love of God, in the mood of the goddess of devotion, in the form of chanting her beloved Krishna's most holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But we know that in this age we are very fallen. We cannot chant the holy name of Krishna. We cannot worship Krishna. We cannot approach Krishna. But for the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We also can't approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly. We have to go through his mercy potency, which is Nityananda, the original spiritual master, which is the most important aspect of the spiritual quest. That's absurd. You can't approach. That's absurd. You can't approach Krishna without going through Guru Tattva. And he gave him some atonement. The Shiradoi festival, distributing prasad to all the devotees. Just to show, we have to find bona fide spiritual master. There's no question of spiritual life without accepting, surrendering, and serving bona fide spiritual master, who is the representative of Nityananda Balaram, who teaches devotion by practicing it himself. And who can better teach devotion than the Lord himself, who therefore expands himself as Nityananda. And those who follow in his footsteps by dispensing this most priceless gift are our only means of approaching Krishna. Therefore, it is only by the mercy of Krishna that one gets Guru, and it is only by the mercy of Guru that one gets Krishna. And the Guru is he who follows in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, surrendering to the will of the parampara, which draws us into the current of Krishna's love as an unbroken chain pulls us out of this muck of material life and draws us back into the Nitya Lila of the Lord, which was so nicely displayed in this world through Guru Tattva, Sri Nityananda Ram. So, thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments?
Is Sannyasi Rasa went always with him? Or he
no. He just appeared long enough to take Nityananda out of Ekachakra. He was not very popular. Later, after the Khetri Mahotsav, when Janava Ishwari went up to Khetri, she later came on pilgrimage here to Ekachakra. And she had a big party of followers and disciples because, see, Nityananda, he can't give the gift of Madhurya Ras because he's in the mood of servitude. So his consort, Janava, is Revati and Ananga Manjari, who is the younger sister of Radharani, combined. So she was the guru. You know, a lot of the times Lord Nityananda would inspire people with devotion and Janava would initiate. They'd deliver whole villages, initiate them all. And they came, Vrindavan Das Thakur was her follower. They came here to Ekachakra. They found one old man and just crying and lamenting like anything. They asked, dear sir, what's the matter? Why are you so sad? Why are you crying? Nityananda has done this to me. What? How can Nityananda hurt anyone? And he told the story. He was the life of all Ekachakra, and then he left and just threw the whole land into the abyss of despair. But That separation is not to be taken as some kind of material lamentation. It's a very intense form of meditation and love, which makes our advancement very rapid. So that's sannyasi. He just kind of disappeared somewhere along the pilgrimage and just did not went on by himself from there. Of course, that's just the beginning. That's when he met Lord Chaitanya. That's when it really started to happen.
Some other day. You said that Janava Mata was the incarnation of Revati and
Ananda.
Yeah.
Revati being the wife of Balaram,
yeah.
And Ananga Manjari being the younger sister of Radharani.
Mm-hmm. What activities?
Ananga Manjari.
I heard that Lord Nityananda married two times.
Two wives.
Yeah, two. Yeah.
They were sisters. Vishuddha is the sister of.
Can
John
you explain
Janava.
A little bit? Because this,
they were the daughters of Suryadas Hargaya. He had a dream that he should marry. He was looking for a suitable man to marry his daughters to, but couldn't find anybody. Then he had a dream of Nityananda. So he arranged that they marry. He died. Nityananda's avadut. You can't imitate. You have to follow the footsteps, which means taking instructions. He was considered. Everybody considered him to be a sannyasi. But he, in some ways, he's identical with Lord Chaitanya, but in some ways he's just reversed. Lord Chaitanya was very strict in his ways, whereas Nityananda was rather unorthodox in some ways. Lord Chaitanya started out a whole household and became sannyasi. Nityananda started out sannyasi and became a householder, not with one wife, with two. So there's Janava. Vishuddha was the one who raised the children, had the children. Janava never bore children. Children were Gangadevi and Virbhadra. Great devotees. Also acharyas. Gangadevi was also an acharya. Jainitai. Okay.
Hi,
Prasad.
I have another question.
We should honor Prasad if we can continue.
Lord Nityananda ki.
The Lord reveals himself as Nityananda, who is the resting place, the slippers, the couch of the Lord, and the Prasad of the Lord. So,
the second illusion arises, which is to think that material sense gratification is the standard of happiness. For instance, sometimes we might come to a holy place and we might think, where is the food? When can I eat? This is not the real need of the soul. This is the need of the body. The whole material world is going to hell because of misidentifying the needs of the soul with the tinkling and tinkling and rambling in the senses of the material body. Then there are different, these illusions are aggravated in greed for material sense gratification, sense pleasure. Finally, they accumulate in madness and in the illusion that with death everything is over. So Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya have arisen in order to clarify this dark, dark night of the soul so that it can come to a pure Krishna consciousness again. They have done this by spreading the holy name around. In this material world, there are only two realities. The soul, which is entrapped, and the Naam, the name which can deliver the soul from the deceptful illusions of material misidentification. So Lord Nityananda has displayed his activities in the most unusual manner of an avadhuta, a personality not bound by the rules and regulations of material of the Vedas. Lord Nityananda was seen riding naked on a bull, which according to Vedic custom is offensive. You cannot ride on the cow and not on the bull, and you should cover yourself according to the Vedic tradition in order to keep your shame intact. Lord Nityananda sometimes would run into the Ganga and chase after crocodiles. He was always bubbling over with transcendental happiness, and in his kirtans he would dance so intensely that he was would lose his cloth. Sometimes, I remember we had one Harinam in Beograd with one enthusiastic Bhakta. The television was there because it was the big meeting of the Communistic Party, and they had nothing to do except filming what's going on the street. So we had this Harinam, and the Bhakta began to dance and twirling around and losing his dhoti. Everyone was shocked. He was most shocked. And he immediately ran with his dhoti into a shop and dressed himself again. Lord Nityananda wouldn't do that. He would dance on and on and on until no single piece of cloth would be on his body. At the same time, Lord Nityananda had his admirers and shishyas, disciples, in the rich merchant community. And they would give him silken cloth of varieties of colors. He had a very colorful turban. His arms were bedecked with ankle belts, and he wore pearls and golden decorations, ornaments on his transcendental body. Sometimes he was seen twirling around an iron rod and exclaiming, "I am a cowherd boy, I am a cowherd boy." Then his associates would fall in that mood and would also exclaim their identities are cowherd boys who take pleasure in herding the cows. It is described that once Nityananda Prabhu was sent to Bengal. Now on the way he got lost in transcendental ecstasy, remembering his identity as Balaram and as a cowherd boy. There are many transcendental activities of Lord Nityananda, but this is sufficient for us to blow our conception of Lord Nityananda and show us his avaduta nature. Let us, however, not consider make an offense now. Vrindavan Das Thakur is dealing in the Antya Leela of Chaitanya Bhagavat very strongly with materialistic mentalities who think because Lord Nityananda performed such unusual activities, he should be criticized. There are many pastimes of Lord Nityananda which show that he is none else than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom this whole material universe emanates. That is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how from Lord Nityananda's pores in the body the universe has come, because Nityananda is not different from Karuna Dakashayi Vishnu or Mahavishnu. Once in the house of Srivas Pandit, Nityananda Ram came and appeared to be extremely hungry. At that time he met Malini, who is the wife of Srivas Pandit. And Malini was lamenting because a crow had just stolen the offering bowl to Lord Krishna. They had taken the offering bowl away. So Nityananda Ram, bubbling over in transcendental happiness, said, "Why are you crying?" And Malini explained, "Srivas Thakur is so attached to Lord Krishna, he will never forgive me if this offering bowl is not there to be found." Oh, said Nityananda, no need to worry. And because he is the super soul in everyone's heart, including the super soul of the crow, he directed the crow to take, to bring back the offering bowl and place it before Malini. This is another sign how not Lord Nityananda Ram is not different from the Vishnu expansions, which expand from Karanadakashayi Vishnu and ultimately from Mahasankarshan. He is not different from the super soul. To finish this little address, let us please consider, Prabhus, how we can attain the mercy of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Nitai Pada Kamala, Lord Chandas Thakur says, the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are as cooling as millions of moons. The moon is very merciful. The moon shines into the courtyard of an honest person and also shines into the courtyard of a dishonest criminal. In the same way, Lord Nityananda's lotus feet are equally merciful to the qualified and unqualified. In fact, we learn that he was mainly elevating the unqualified. He was delivering Jagai and Madai, whereas Lord Chaitanya had disciples like Sarva Bhoma Bhattacharya, Sanatana.